Whenever we moved this thing, I think it brought back some bad memories or something, but we're gonna get through it. I appreciate all those who are serving today and doing a great job. It's all about being together, worshiping our Father in spirit and in truth. If you are visiting with us, as Justin mentioned to us earlier, thank you very much for being here and being a part of our services at Azalea City. I certainly am thankful for all those who are here, members and visitors alike. I do know that Gulf Coast Bible Camp, as Justin mentioned, is starting, and so those who are involved in that great ministry, I still believe Gulf Coast Bible Camp in our area, I believe I could probably do enough statistics to prove this, has been the greatest tool to help add people to the church of anything we've done. And so for that, I appreciate those who have labored so hard and continue to labor so hard. We've got board members here and those who love the camp, and certainly very much appreciative of that. And we'll be praying for a great week. With that, we've been talking a lot about the family, and I am going to conclude that today. Even with Father's Day looming, I am going to go ahead and conclude our series on the family today, because I believe that we've talked about as many things as possible, and we'll continue to talk about as many things as possible that will make our families elevated. We need to elevate. Wherever we are in our family, we need to elevate. Okay? I may be a husband. I need to elevate as a husband. I may be a wife. I need to elevate as a wife. I may be a son. Elevate as a son. A daughter. A parent. Grandparent, wherever we are in our family currently, I need to elevate. I never need to be satisfied where I am spiritually. I always want to grow. And so, really for 3 weeks now, I've concluded this lesson. I wrote that 3 weeks ago, Christ-centered family is the conclusion, and this is the third week. But I do think that this will be the final week just on this lesson. And so, with that, I do want to recap real quick some of the things that we've talked about. First of all, we talked about being on loan. Our children are on loan from God. We're on loan from God. He wants us back. He wants us all back. And so we've got to look at it with that mentality that God only gave us this life for a temporary moment in time. Even if it's 100+ years, it's temporary compared to eternity. And so we need to make sure that we're doing everything to get those in our care back and to get everything that we can to get ourselves back from God. We looked at these scriptures in a long introduction to this lesson, Psalm 127, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 15, Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, 2 Kings 20, 15 through 18, and Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. What we were doing with those scriptures is pointing out how many things God, and He said so many more, even besides those, about the family, about the importance of family. And it really got to what I believe is the best section of scripture where God really lays out what He wants family members to do, and that is in Ephesians chapter 5, right there all the way through Ephesians chapter 6. And so, with that, we got into that last week and we looked at 5 points. Here they are. Number one, make godliness a priority. We talked about the importance of doing everything we can to make God-centered families, then godliness has to be at the center of it. We talked about making love a priority. That love has to be the mortar that keeps the brick together. It has to be the mortar that keeps the family together. We talked about making obedience a priority. We've got to obey mom and dad, children. Children have to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. But parents have to obey the Lord. And it's just a train that we have to continue rolling down the track. We also talked about make respect a priority. We talked about the danger in disrespect these days and how there is a lot of evidence out there if we look that respect is not where it needs to be. And so we've got to make sure that it is where it needs to be in the family. And our final point last week was talking about gentleness, making gentleness a priority, about fathers ruling the family and ruling the household, but doing it the way Christ did. Remember, Christ was meek. He was gentle. And so that gets us to where we are today. 5 more points, and I hope and pray that this series of lessons, going back several weeks now, has been something to help us elevate where we are spiritually. I believe the family's under attack. I believe ever since Adam and Eve were married in the Garden of Eden and the devil slithered his way into their lives, he's had a foothold in the door of the family ever since. And we've got to change that, church. Stronger families, stronger Christian families make stronger churches, makes a stronger community, makes a stronger world. And so, again, God's design goes all the way back to the beginning. So here we are today, number 6, if you're keeping up, or number 1 today, whichever way you want to look at it. But we must make maturity a priority. Go back now to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Again, that's part of what we talked about last week in conclusion. It says, and bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. What I really want to focus on there are the phrase, bring them up. You know, a lot of times we talk about not provoking our children to wrath and training them and the admonition of the Lord and all that. But we don't talk a lot about that bring them up. I don't think we focus on it a lot. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks as I was going through and preparing this lesson that child development is so critical from the time those children come out to the time they leave our house. You know, Justin may not have encountered this, and I hope he never has to, but over the years, I've had parents talk to me, and some of them, well, I guess in all the cases, maybe they came in later in life, or they were born into the church, raised in the church, and didn't make priority, Sunday school a priority, church a priority, youth group stuff a priority. And so by the time their child was 15 or 16, they were causing their parents some problems. And so they would come to the youth minister and say, hey, I need you to get them involved. Well, I just want you to know that when it comes to child development, that's almost too late. I'm not saying that it is too late. I'm not saying that things can't happen and God can work amazing things. Okay? But please understand, this whole child development, it starts, moms and dads, when they're babies. When we're seeing them, Jesus loves me. When we're saying our prayers in front of them. When we're loving them. When we're holding them. When we're caressing them. When we're correcting them. We have got to mature our children. Now listen, we need to mature them. You don't want them to be 40 years old and still be immature when it comes to the way they act. But we also don't want them to be 40 years old and still be immature in the faith. You see, it goes hand in hand. We have got to help bring our children up, both in the socio-economic times that we live in, to help them mature and to function and to know how to be husbands and wives and boss, employees or even bosses one day or whatever it may be. But we've got to teach them about Jesus Christ. And we've got to teach them at a young age. In fact, Luke chapter 2, 52. We're not asking you to do something. God's not asking us to do something that hasn't already been done through Jesus Christ. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. We as parents, we must train our children to mature in wisdom. That's mentally. Same thing Jesus did. Jesus, at 12 years old, think of where he was mentally, right? He was maturing. We have got to have our children's minds on things that matter. Listen, I've got a lot of things in my mind, and you do too, that don't matter. But at the end of the day, we recognize that those things don't matter. We've got to get our children focused mentally where God wants them to be. That means this, mama and daddy and grandparents and whoever else, if our minds aren't where they need to be, we need to change that too. We need to elevate that as well. So we need to increase our children in wisdom. Secondly, in stature, physically. We don't know, we have no control over how tall our children are going to be or those things, but we do need to help them grow. That means we're going to do the right things to encourage them to practice good habits and good exercise and things like that. So again, that's our responsibility. Jesus grew as well, physically. But then it says, favor with God. He increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God. Now, when you think about it, can we turn these lights down just a little bit, please? when he grew in favor with God, that meant he grew spiritually. What are we doing? Listen, part of our physical growth is I want to teach my kid how to throw 90 miles an hour or do a bunch of backflips or do all kinds of dance terminology that I don't know, okay? Or to hit a linebacker, I mean hit a running back by the line, from the linebacker position. All these things we talk about, yeah, we want to train them to do that stuff, but how much are we training them spiritually? How much are we encouraging them to have favor with God? Or are we saying, well, it's Outdoor Bible's responsibility? Or we may not say it that way, but are we letting that be all that we do? Or is it all Justin and Ashley's responsibility? We may not be saying that, but they're getting enough there. How much are they getting in our home? You see, that's a question I can't answer for you. You know that answer. But if I am going to do Ephesians 6 verse 4 as a father, then I got to bring them up. How do I bring them up? Well, Jesus Christ was brought up by maturing spiritually. And then finally it says, and with man. Socially, we need to help our children be able to interact. We need to help them know how to talk to somebody. Do a little experiment for me. Observe. Don't judge. Observe. Children, interact with adults today. They struggle with it. You know why? Because here we are. They don't make eye contact or anything else. How about this, mamas and daddies? Let's tell them to look an adult in the eyes. I tell the kids that I've coached over the years, look at me in the eyes. If you look at me in the eyes, I know you're at least looking at me. You may not be listening, but I know you're looking at me. That is something we've got to help our children do that, how to interact, how to have a conversation. Because one day, they need to have a conversation with somebody about Jesus Christ. They need to help lead others to Christ. Jesus Christ Himself increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number 7, if you're keeping count, would be this. Make discipline a priority. Again, not a very popular thing amongst our children who are here today. But again, 6:4, how many times can we reference this? There's a lot of meat in that verse. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It really does hurt me to discipline my children. They may not believe me, but it does. My dad used to say, it hurts me more than it hurts you. I didn't believe him. But as a father, I get it. You know, it crushes my world. But at the end of the day, when our children are little and they go to touch something hot, we get on to them. Why? We don't want them touching something hot. So how then do we lose that when they become teenagers and we want to be their best friend? You see, again, I say things that sometimes are unpopular, but that's okay. I don't mind because I've got to stand before God, not before man in judgment. God didn't give us our children while they're in our house to be our best friends. I believe that there comes a time when that can happen. I really do. When they get out of the home and things like that. But at the end of the day, God gave me my children because they're on loan to get them back to Him. And so I'm going to do everything in my power to help them. And part of that is discipline. How do I know that? Well, it's biblical. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son. Think about that now. He who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now I'm going to tell you, you got to work what discipline works best for you. I believe that my dad could have talked to me. He didn't believe that. That's okay. You know? Discipline is, listen, I say all that in tongue in cheek somewhat.
If it were just for my mom, I think all my brothers would say this. Spiritually, we wouldn't be where we are today. It took my dad, mom tried to discipline us too, but we were three boys, you know? And we're like, that didn't hurt, you know? Boy, dad can make it hurt, though. He can make it hurt. And so with that being said, you pick out your discipline. Maybe it's the rod, maybe it's the belt, maybe it's the corner, maybe whatever it is. But do it. God said, if we don't do it, we hate our children. That's strong words. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, I know he's talking about to a congregation of people, but listen to that in a parent mentality to a child. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When we discipline, when we chastise, or whatever we want to call it, we do the training and admonition we need to do, then it's going to have the results, oftentimes, that we expect to come out of it. Revelation 3, verse 19. As many, words of Jesus Christ, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now, he's talking to churches, right? He's talking to lay it on the line to these seven churches of Asia, if you will. But he says this, those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. You see, it's not a gift of hate. It's a gift of love. If we want to raise mature wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man, if we want to raise those type family members, if we want to be that type of family member, then we need instructive discipline, corrective discipline, and punitive discipline. That's without being unloving and abusive kind of discipline, right? Make discipline a priority. If we're going to raise God-centered families, we're going to elevate the family, then that has to be the case. Number eight, a Christ-centered family makes responsibility a priority. Read Ephesians 6, 5-9 with me now, please. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. I have been a school teacher. I have never been in a paid administrative role, but I chair the board and serve on the board at Faulkner University and chair the board at Mobile Christian. And especially at Mobile Christian, we experience a lot of parents trying to not teach their children responsibility. And I'm sure we're not the only school. I'm sure it happens other places. But a lot of times, it's not little Johnny's fault. It's not little Susie's fault. Okay? Well, guess what? Sometimes, or oftentimes, little Johnny or little Susie has pulled the wool over the eyes of Mama and Daddy. And what happens is we have not taught them responsibility. If our children get in trouble. Now listen, I think we as a parent have a responsibility to our children to do all the things we've talked about. But at the end of the day, if we've made them do their homework, we've stayed on them, we've made them study and done the things they do, and they get the grade that they shouldn't get, well, don't go fuss at the teacher.
You know, responsibility is a big deal. Because what happens in Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, he said, someday you're going to grow up to be employees. You're going to have a job. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to do these things. And then you just can't go in there, or you won't be a good employee, or you won't have a job. The other day, sad to say, two of our young men that Justin and I especially, we know them, we work with them, they've been starters on our team, we love those guys, but they weren't allowed to come back to Mobile Christian. I sat with both of them. Both of them were devastated. But at the end of the day, it was the best thing for them now. Why? Because they need to learn that lesson that you've got to obey the rules. You've got to do what's right. Mom and Daddy is not teaching that. And so, those are hard lessons to learn. You know, trust me, we get all the time, well, you're a Christian school and this and that. My point behind it is this. Somewhere along the way, we've got to teach responsibility. And we need to teach it in our homes. In fact, John 9 verse 4, listen to the words of Christ. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. You know what He said there? My Father, even though I'm God in the flesh, He didn't say it this way, but let me imply that. Even though He's God in the flesh, He said, my Father gave me a job to do. And as long as I have daylight, I'm going to do it. This is God in the flesh. This is the one man who's ever walked this earth that it would have been perfectly okay to build a temple for Him to sit in the room on a throne and people come and worship Him. As a man, it would have been okay because He was God. But He made Himself with no reputation. He came in the likeness of men. He was a bondservant. He came to serve, not be served. He came to work. And He knew that that was His responsibility to His Father. John 17 verse 4, in His prayer to His Father, He said, I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. He's about to go to the cross. He's spending time with His Father in prayer. And He said, I have finished the job. 33 years He worked for His Father on this earth. He finished the job. Jesus knew how to work. He didn't just come and have everything given to Him. He was responsible. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, Paul says, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. You see, if it's going to come a point in time, moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever it may be, anybody that's raising this village we have, that's raising these children, right? There's going to come a point in time when they're going to have a hard responsibility to say, if I do not work, I'm going to be hungry. Then how about let's teach that responsibility now? If we're going to elevate the family. Again, this is not something I'm pulling out of society now. I'm pulling it straight from the Word of God. This is what God expects. Number 9. Well, let me make these 2 points, then we'll go to number 9. Please understand that work is not just a punishment of Adam and Eve. Harder work is a punishment of Adam and Eve. But before, God gave them everything, but they still had to go gather the fruit. They still had to go gather the vegetables. Why? Because God didn't just put it miraculously in their living room. They had to go gather. So God's always expected us to work. Now, yes, because of punishment, it's a lot harder work. But at the end of the day, how do we work? According to Philippians 1 verse 27, as to the Lord. When we teach our children that everything we do is to bring glory and honor to God. When we live our lives, as everything we do is to bring glory and honor of God, honor to God, then man, that responsibility is going to be where it needs to be. Number 9, this morning, to have a Christ-centered family, we need to make strength in the Lord a priority. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Read with me, please. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right now, June the 13th, 2021, at 11:23 a.m., I'm going to ask you this question. Is your family prepared for spiritual war? Is your family, is my family, prepared for a spiritual war? I believe there are too many, I'm not saying here, but there are too many people. I'm not saying here, but I'm not saying here. That are not strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Fighting our family battles without truly stressing Jesus is fighting a losing battle. So what does that mean? That means that I have a responsibility to my family to help them understand the whole armor of God. Let's break it down for a moment. What did He say? He said, you've got to cover up the head. Let's start there, even though that's at the end of the list. What's on the head? The helmet of salvation. Why? By the way, if we get shot in the head with the devil's darts, it's going to be fatal. So what do I need to have on my mind? Heaven. I need to teach heaven. I need to teach the importance of heaven. I need to allow my children to understand that this world is not the end. The home that we live in, as nice as it may be, it's not the final resting place. Heaven or hell is the final resting place. So I want to make sure that heaven is on my children's heads and in their minds all the time. Well, let's go on down. What's next? It's the heart. The heart is critical, just like the brain. We don't need the devil shooting the heart and piercing it with evil. So I need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. What's the opposite of righteousness? Unrighteousness. If I do not protect the heart from good things, then evil things will enter in. That's why Paul said, abhor or hate or despise that which is evil, but cling to that which is good. It's not enough to just hate evil. We've got to protect it. Then what else? We need to be girded. The center of our bodies, is the way I look at it, is our waist. We need to gird our waist with truth. There's a lot of lies out there. We need to be centered in the truth. Then we need to stand, protect our feet. That's a very valuable part of a soldier's body. Protect our feet with the gospel. Stand in the gospel. It's the gospel of peace. There's a war going on out there, but when we stand on the truth of God, the Word of God, we're going to have peace. And then He said, I'm going to give you the shield of faith. In case you don't have something covered, you can protect what the devil shoots at you because your faith should be able to overcome. We're going to teach our children about faith, about the gospel, about the truth, about righteousness, about salvation. And then He said, hey, I'm also going to give you a weapon. And it's the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. Mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, aunts, uncles, guardians, whoever it may be, If I am not teaching my children the importance of the Bible, I am failing them. I'm failing them. It's way more important than algebra and trigonometry. It's way more important than physics. It's way more important than whatever medical field. Again, I appreciate all those who are involved in that. But the Word of God is the most important book we can teach. And we must be teaching it. Faithful attendance at public worship. It's important. It's critical. Family worshiping. Families worshiping together. Critical. Families serving others. Critical. Being real and genuine and authentic in our faith is critical. I do not want my children to see their dad preach on Sunday. And then when I take these clothes off and put whatever lay around, work in the yard kind of clothes I put on, I don't want them to see a different person. I'm going to tell you this right now. You come to my house when I'm cutting grass, I won't look like I am now. I'm not going to cut grass like this. But I'm going to be sweating. I'm going to be nasty. I have a little BO, just forgive me. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be the same guy. I'm going to be the same guy. That's my promise to my children. I'm not going to teach against the dangers of alcohol and the dangers of drugs and then have a refrigerator full of it. I'm not going to talk about how we need to watch our tongues and then go and cuss out the lawnmower when it doesn't start. That's me. That's who I'm striving to be. I'm trying to elevate myself to that point. Because I want my children to know what genuine faith looks like. It's the same thing that as of last night, my son, and I'm proud of him for this. I am proud of everything that he's done. I'm proud of his desire to do the best and be the best at whatever he does and whatever school work. But this is what I'm most proud of. Last night, he couldn't find his phone. And he's like, "Can you help me find my phone?" And you might sit there and think, "Well, why are you proud of that? He just wanted to text or get on Snapchat or something." No, he doesn't have that. He does have text, but he doesn't have that other stuff. He wanted to find his phone because it was bedtime and that's how he reads his Bible every night. And I felt like somewhere along the way, we're getting this right. I want my children to be strong in the Lord. At the end of the day, I may make some things, some rules that are unpopular. But I'm going to stick to them. Because my children are on loan from God. And He wants them back. Do we really stand as a family if we don't stand in the Lord? Finally this morning, number 10 if you're keeping count, Christ-centered family makes prayer a priority. I always said this, and I had to bring it in, that God, we always talk about He gave us one weapon, offensive weapon. I believe He gave us two. If you look at Ephesians 6 close enough, you'll see it. Read with me verse 18. Remember verse 17 He just said, "And with the sword of the Spirit," right? Now verse 18, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We just talked about the life of Paul. We know he spoke boldly. Whether he was going to be beaten, whether he was going to be in prison, there was a time when he was stoned and lived through it. He was in danger after danger after danger after danger. But he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We must be a people, a family, a church that leads on our knees. I can tell you, I had a mama that taught this point, and I've shared this point over the years, but you probably have enough new people, you haven't heard it before. You know, I am floored now that people, you see, in my coming up, Wednesday nights were just as important as Sundays. Now again, I'm not going to preach too hard on that because I preached pretty hard on it this year. There are some people deciding right now, "I'm not going to be back." You just already made the decision, "I'm not going to be back Sunday night." I mean Wednesday night. But Wednesday night was a big deal to me, especially when I became a Christian. And I was playing baseball at Mary Montgomery. And we didn't play on Wednesday nights. We didn't practice on Wednesday nights back when things were still not like they are today. Society's changed. Now, man, it's nothing for a family to be gone on Sundays to play baseball. Or Wednesdays, or who cares? I mean, it's just, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's just the way it is. Back then, it wasn't that way, even in public school. And so, I became a Christian, and I made this dedication to God, and I was going to be here, and I was going to be dedicated to our youth group, and be dedicated to our church. This church right here, by the way. And we got our schedule, and we had two games scheduled on Wednesday nights. And it really bothered me. Probably didn't bother anybody, a whole lot of people, but it bothered me because I'd made this commitment to God. So I went to my mom. I said, "Mom, what do I need to do?" She said, "Pray about it." I'm sitting there thinking, "Great, thanks, Mom. That's convenient." But the more I thought about it, the more she was right. So I started praying every night. Every night I prayed, "God, I want to be there. I want to worship You. I want to be there." She's here today. You can ask her. She knows it's not a preacher's story. It rained harder on those two Wednesday nights. You can't play baseball in the rain, folks. But it rained both those games out. I'm not making that up at all. In fact, our head coach said, "I believe some of y'all are praying for rain." I didn't tell him I really was. But I was able to come to church. Prayer is a powerful weapon. If we're praying for the right things. If we're praying in the right ways. I can't imagine life apart from prayer. And I certainly can't imagine it apart from our family's life. No one. I don't care what they do in schools, what they do at your workplace. No one can stop you from praying. And no one can stop you from praying for your family. Today, as we conclude, our families, they're ours for a little while, but they're God's forever. Leave a legacy. I said that before. We talk about that at funerals a lot of times. This person left a legacy. You leave a legacy. Challenge myself. Leave a legacy. Make an eternal difference in the lives of your family. A Christ-centered family makes all the difference. So what can you do today? Today, maybe you aren't where you need to be spiritually. And maybe you haven't been that way for a while. Maybe you think, "I've raised my children, I'm going to live my life, all the things." No, they're still watching. Grandchildren are watching. Others are watching. Nieces, nephews, others are watching. Live your life for Jesus Christ every day. And if you need to change it, do it today. Tell them you're sorry. Make things right. Or maybe you're here today and you haven't yet been baptized into Jesus Christ. What a better sermon, a million times better sermon that I can ever preach than for you to walk this aisle and for your child or your grandchild or whoever it may be, watch you immersed into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Leave a legacy. Start today as together we stand and sing.